Happy Friday and welcome to the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. I'm your host, Chris Raby. Friday, October 9th edition of the program. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday. Another gorgeous day in St. Louis. Going to be a gorgeous weekend. We just keep lucking out with the weather. And that's a good thing because we're going to have football back in St. Louis County High School football this weekend. We'll talk about that coming up on the program as schools were able to make their case to return to the field at home within the county limits earlier this week. We've got a huge matchup that I'm actually going to be a part of, so we'll talk about that, CBC and DeSmet tomorrow. We're going to visit with both head coaches, both Robert Steeples, former Mizzou star and the head coach of the defending state champ DeSmet football program. We'll also chat with Scott Pingle, the head coach over at CBC, so looking forward to talking to both of those guys as we get ready for what will be a great game tomorrow at noon at DeSmet. We'll hear from David Quidall, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, who's been covering the developing story. Does a great job covering high school sports. We'll talk NFL and college as well. It's Football Friday, so didn't know that we would be spending time talking about high school football as things have changed within the region. So we will get to some NFL, some picks, some daily fantasy. Ben Heisler of Sports Illustrated will join me in our next segment, and we'll also hear from Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Had a fun time chatting with Ben for Ben Fred Fridays last night. That's up at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com right now. And the Mizzou Tigers will be in action against LSU. The Cardinals are done. The Blues are done. It could be center stage for Eli Drinkwitz and Mizzou for the next couple of months. So all that coming up. It's a Friday edition of the program, The Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Roll down the windows. Let's have fun. Let's get ready for the weekend. Let's go! All right, welcome in. Happy Friday. Hope you're having a wonderful day. It's The Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. I'm your host, Chris Raby. So, high school football will return to St. Louis County this weekend. Earlier this week on Monday, Sam Page announcing that schools would be able to provide their return to play or their safe play programs to the St. Louis County Department of Public Health, and decisions would be made if they'd be able to host games on site within the county. Obviously, teams that had been playing football the last couple of weeks had been having to go outside of the county to do that, including CBC, who went to Eureka and got a 42-14 win in week one action last week. Coming up in our next segment, we'll hear from both head coaches, Scott Pingle of CBC and Robert Steeples of DeSmet. But a little kind of catch up if you haven't heard or been following all of the nuts and bolts of this story, the timeline of what has happened and what is allowing football to return this weekend. David Quidall covers high school sports for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, has done a great job on this story, and join me last night. I wanted to bounce some things off of him, get his thoughts on the return to play plans that have been put together, what has changed, the decision that Sam Page and his staff made, and the decisions that they have made under a lot of pressure from a lot of different directions and more.
This past Monday, he announced that the county would be willing to let football go free. It was the one high school sport they hadn't cut loose yet. Boys soccer, girls volleyball, softball were all considered moderate frequency contact sports. They got cut loose a couple weeks ago. So football was the last one hanging on. And on Monday, he said, if schools that want to play football submit their plans to the St. Louis County Department of Public Health and those plans are approved, they could host football on campus starting this Friday. Well, I mean, if you believe Sam Page, and that is something I understand a significant portion of St. Louis County isn't necessarily ready to do. But if he's to be believed, he cited a lowering number in positivity rates, especially among the 15 to 19 age group that he had identified as having a higher than tolerable transmission rate and positivity rate. He also said the rate of testing had gone up. And so all the different factors were kind of pointing in the right direction that it looked good to let this happen now. And part of their concern at the St. Louis County Department of Public Health was, you know, when you go to football games, you have large groups of people together. congregate and all of that. They wanted to make sure that was not part of it. So while football is back this weekend, part of the approved plans are limiting spectators. So I know CBC and DeSmet are going to play Saturday, DeSmet making its season debut, the defending Classics champ. Their arch rival from up the street, CBC, is going to come up and play them. And that's going to have two spectators per rostered player. So the athletic director at DeSmet, John McCullough, had said that's going to put them at about 280 total spectators, which is almost 1,000 short of capacity over at DeSmet Stadium. So the county's concern was, we don't want big crowds. We don't want lots of people getting together. We want to keep it as minimal as possible and then let the kids go play. Because unlike a lot of parts of in Missouri, because I mean, just to kind of go down the COVID rabbit hole, the other parts of the state are really kind of struggling. I mean, the numbers are going in the wrong direction. St. Louis County and city are going in the better direction because we've had mask mandates. We haven't had in-person schooling and all of these different things that now the outstate, if you will, is kind of having to grapple with. Scheduling football games used to be a very hard thing to do because they were set so many years in advance. And now every weekend there's, at this point, at least four or five games that get shuffled around during the course of the week, some as late as Friday morning. So St. Louis County is in a really good place compared to the rest of Missouri, which is why I think the county health department was okay with letting football get loose this week.
So we've got football this weekend. Tomorrow, 12 o'clock, it will be CBC and DeSmet, the top two teams in the area, and two rivals. DeSmet, obviously, last year, the Class 6A state champions. They ended CBC's season, and they will go at it at DeSmet at noon tomorrow. I'm going to be on the call. You can go to CBC's website and watch the game. So if you're not able to get there, because there will be a very limited amount of folks allowed in the building, you'll be able to watch the stream, but they will be back at it tomorrow. So obviously a lot of implications, as we will have football in St. Louis County for the first time this year. Implications because of outside counties and school districts all over the state that have been operating under different rules. Implications because of, you know, what a return to play means for student athletes, for their families, and what this fall could mean if, you know, football is able to move forward safely and successfully, and what it could mean past that for the rest of sports, and a template for how the state operates.
Well, in the spring, I mean, when we, you know, the pandemic kind of started to really generate. I mean, I was at St. Charles West on the Wednesday. CBC was playing Hazelwood Central in a sectional game in the playoffs. And that was the night Rudy Gobert tested positive and the NBA shut down, which is. And that is the moment where the whole country kind of went, wait a minute, what's going on? So. Well, from that point on, we didn't know a lot about anything at that point, but the spring season, I mean, basketball got canceled for class 4 and 5. They didn't get, the final four was set, but nobody got to go play. I mean, among the local teams going were, you know, Vachon and CBC and Chaminade and the big schools. And on the girls' side, Incarnate Word was going because, you know, they dominate that way. So they didn't get to go play at state, and the entire spring season was not played whatsoever. I mean, and in that, you lost a lot of school districts, lost graduation. I know some of them pushed it back into the summertime, and either at the stadium or I know in St. Charles, the Family Arena hosted graduations. But a lot of the norms we saw and just kind of accepted as they're always going to be there immediately were in question, and a lot of them did not happen. So coming into the fall, the hope was, geez, we'll get the virus wrestled under control. They talked about, geez, in the summer, it'll, you know, the numbers will go down. These things typically don't spike in the summer, and that's not what happened whatsoever. The Memorial Day came, and it went up. 4th of July came, and it went up. And it continued to do that. Labor Day was very similar. We were kind of hoping that, you know, we'll get to Labor Day and things will go the right way. And actually, I think that's part of what's kind of fueling how outstate is spiking is that Labor Day trend is, or the holiday trend is about 4 weeks after the holiday, things go the wrong way. So yes, there was a lot of emotion because, I mean, the seniors who were this year's class of seniors, class of 2021, I mean, football players in particular, they didn't get to go to the recruiting camps. They didn't get to go to do college visits. They didn't get to do that normal stuff. And it's been a lot of time and effort put into this. I mean, football is, it's a 12-month sport at this point. Now, not everybody is training all off season. Some athletes do wrestling or play basketball or they run track in the spring. But football, if you're not doing something, you can't just show up in August and decide, I want to play for Kirkwood or Lindbergh or St. Mary's or whoever. You just can't do that. So a lot of these families and all of these student athletes have put in years of time in anticipation that this year they would be at the peak of their powers. They would be as big as they're going to be, as strong as they're going to be, as fast as they're going to be. And everybody has hopes and dreams of what they're going to do senior year. And when that went off the rails, it just brought a lot of frustration and anger. And the fact that the rest of the state was playing didn't help. Like, that didn't help Sam Page's case. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes because, like you said, this weekend, things are going to start. And we'll see. I mean, St. Charles County has been playing football. Last week, Lutheran St. Charles, Duchenne, both missed ball games. The Borgia football team in Franklin County missed ball games. Their softball team this week actually just had to forfeit their postseason because they had a positive COVID case, and the team has to quarantine for 2 weeks, and that they can't play. So if you can't play when the postseason starts, those games are forfeited. In the regular season, they're just considered canceled, but they're not holding up the playoffs, so games can be played. So if you can't play because of quarantine issues, it's over. Jefferson County's had several football teams have to go into quarantine as it is considered by its Department of Public Health a red zone for uncontrolled community spread. So Fox High School in Arnold actually moved its football game last Friday to Jackson because Jackson doesn't have as many restrictions on spectators, where at Fox in Jefferson County, the health department said you can't have visiting spectators. We're going to limit the number of people who can come to a very small number. So Fox agreed to go to Jackson so more people could play the game. So even as teams that in parts of the state that are playing, I mean, nobody's gotten a clean bill of health all the way through. Like the number of teams that haven't been able to play because of potential exposure, lab positive tests, or opponents who had to just drop out because they had those kinds of things and a replacement opponent couldn't be found. I mean, that's become almost routine. So while everybody's excited to get back on the field now, you know, it's going to be week 7. So regular season in Missouri runs week 7, 8, 9, and then week 10 is the first round of districts, which then leads into the bigger playoff bracket. So local teams are going to get this Friday, and then what happens after that is anybody's guess, because as we've seen, the virus knows no bounds. It doesn't stop at the river in St. Charles. It doesn't stop at the river in Jefferson County. And if it shows up in your locker room, you're not going to be playing football very long.
Again, a big thanks to David Quidoff from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch for joining me and looking forward to being on the call for CBC and DeSmet tomorrow. That game at DeSmet, it will be at 12 o'clock. And if you're not one of the less than 300 people in the building, you can go to CBC's website and stream the game and hope you enjoy it. Let's take a break. When we come back, the head coach of the defending state champions, DeSmet, Robert Steeples, also Scott Pingle, the head coach at CBC, will chat with both of them to hear what it's been like to have so much uncertainty and also now the excitement of getting ready to play football. The arch rivals going at it tomorrow at noon. Chris Raby with you, Friday edition of the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and we're back after this. Buy your way at Lou Fuse. You can shop thousands of new vehicles online or in person. Go to Fuse.com to customize your deal. Buy completely online and have your vehicle delivered, or come in and see us. Buy your way and get up to 25% off all 2020 vehicles. Plus, more for your trade, get 25% over book value for all trades. We'll buy your car even if you don't buy from us. Buy your way today at Lou Fuse. A big thanks to Lou Fuse. We are St. Louis. We are Lou Fuse.
No, you don't have to wear your best fake smile. Don't have to stand there and burn inside. Oh, 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 if you don't like it.
Back on the Chris Raby Show Friday edition of the program, getting ready for another weekend of football and a lot of excitement as high school football will be returning to St. Louis County. CBC and DeSmet were going to take their show on the road. First game of the year for DeSmet, the defending state champions. CBC hit the road last week as they headed to Eureka, got their first game under their belt, a 42-14 win. Head coach Scott Pingle says that getting a few of those firsts out of the way last week was nice as they get set to take on their rivals in an anticipated matchup at DeSmet tomorrow at noon.
We actually got to play a game, so we kind of almost got back into what I would call a football routine. So that was kind of nice. I hadn't had to deal with that question for about a week. So it's been nice to just kind of pretend things were back to normal football season. Even to the point yesterday, I had to tell my guys, look, it was hot. But I said, just remember 2 weeks ago, you weren't even playing this game. So you should be, you know, enjoying every moment you're out here. So it definitely felt more normal this week.
You know, the one thing that you probably can't do or you only have a certain amount of influence over is people asking your players that. And, you know, people have good intentions. It's just like when people would ask me or people around the Cardinals, well, when are you going to start playing baseball again? It's like, well, if I knew the answer to that question, you know, we'd be in a different position. So what's your message been to the team off the field in terms of staying focused, dealing with the frustration, and hopefully being able to take advantage of opportunity when it presents itself?
Yeah, we definitely use that word opportunity quite a bit and knowing that always be ready because we never knew what was going to happen. So, and then once August 10th rolled around, we kind of saw that it wasn't going to happen for a while. We dialed it back quite a bit. We only went 3 days a week, and that actually didn't even start till the 24th. So our guys really – we had about 5 weeks of preseason, but only 3 days a week, sometimes 4 days a week. So we really just kind of dialed it back because, you know, not that these guys needed to relearn how to play football, but we just did not want to burn them out. We didn't want to have them overhit each other. So we just kind of took a slower process to getting this ball rolling.
And is that a learning curve for you and for your coaching staff? Because you guys, I'm sure, are adjusting and changing things on the fly. How much of that is communication and how much of that is – being willing to, maybe understand that you guys haven't gone through anything like this before. It might be uncomfortable at times.
Yeah, I think you can rely a little bit on experience of just how you feel like your team. You kind of can think about what does my team need, and yeah, this is unprecedented times, but we also know that probably to play football, you don't need 6-7 weeks to get ready. There'll be definitely more injuries probably. So we just kind of took approach. Yeah, we had a lot of communication amongst the staff. I met with my captains weekly and said, okay, this is what we're thinking this week. How do you think the team's going to respond? Because at the end of the day, you know, I'm the adult, but, you know, they also got a pulse of what their teammates need and want. So, you know, there was definitely a dialogue between me and the seniors. So it was an open communication. So I learned through this process to, you know, trust them quite a bit too and give them a little bit more say in how this is going to roll.
Did it feel different getting on the field for the first time? Obviously, we're used to maybe some heat delays and different. I mean, the weather's been unbelievable, but we're not used to starting football. You're not used to having your first game as we turn the calendar to October. So what were the emotions like when you guys finally were able to compete last week, Scott?
Chris, it was kind of funny. At 4:30, you know, you're kind of – we didn't have locker room, so you're sitting in the end zone. You're like, okay. You still like, okay, what's gonna get pulled out of the rug right now? You know, how's this going to end right now? He still didn't want to believe it at 4:30. It was kind of ironic. All of a sudden, some thunder came out of nowhere. So we're like, oh, no, come on. Don't tell me this is going to delay us again now. So, but I guess the emotions was just like, one, when the ball was kicked off, it was just back to that first game jitters, that first game excitement, that first game anxiety. So once the game rolled around, it was normal, but everything leading up to the game was just like, you know, I'm waiting for something bad to happen because I think that's been kind of the mantra for the last couple months.
Yeah, and then you get that under your belt. You know that there's a matchup against DeSmet looming. You know what kind of a test that is, but then – no pun intended, speaking of tests. There's also an announcement on Monday that schools can submit return to play plans to the public health department. So not only are you preparing for a game, but you're, I'm sure, hopeful that things will go well. You don't know for sure where you're going to play. Well, what has this week been like, Scott? They keep just piling more and more on your guys' plate.
You know, a lot of that's been taken off my plate. My admin, whether my AD or my principal, did a lot of job with the you know, putting the approval plan together. Let me just eyeball it. But that part's been kind of off the plan. It went from on Monday, Scott, you're playing at Festus, to Tuesday, you're playing at DeSmet, and that's really all I had to deal with. So, you know, that part's been pretty smooth. They've done a great job of, you know, obviously let me try to be a football coach when I can be, but also know that, you know, give me some say in what's going on. But they've done a great job for me.
Scott, give folks just kind of a general idea, especially with what the last few months have presented. How would you describe your team, but how would you describe the character of your team and how that translates to what they do on the field?
You know, I guess a lot of coaches would probably say the word resilient and adversity. You know, I think that we've really tried to stress to these guys, look, this is a life microcosm of what's out there in this real world. You know, you never know what's going to happen with your job. You never know what's going to happen with your life. You got to be ready to be adaptable. So we use that word adaptable quite a bit through this whole process. And then we would always try to give them different scenarios about what we were going to work on in practice, whether it be an opponent we're working on, whether it be a situation we're working on. So we were talking about just kind of always be ready for something. And that's kind of what our guys have been like for these last three, actually 6 months. You know, we started May 25th, the day after Memorial Day. And, you know, the guys have been great spirits through this whole process. You know, the hardest part was on me. Because these kids are resilient. They don't know any better. They just want to play ball, and they'll do what, be where they're supposed to be and what time they're supposed to be there. But for me, I just never felt like I had good news. And it was kind of ironic when I broke the news to them that we're playing Eureka. I was thinking I had this big moment. I was going to get this big eruption and everything. But through social media, they had already known. So, you know, I didn't get them excited with about, here, we get to play a game finally.
Oh, man, they beat you to it. Well, finally, last thing, Coach, what do you expect from DeSmet? Obviously, the matchup at the end of last year, I'm sure that, again, we use the word emotion, going to be a lot of emotions for a lot of different reasons, but what an opportunity and what a test for you guys in the most unpredictable and unlikely of seasons, I guess, to this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great test for us. I definitely know what they got coming back. They got a lot of great talent on both sides of the ball. You know, Coach has done a great job over there, really rebuilding that program. So I'm excited about playing football. And I think probably Coach Steeples would say the same thing. It's finally excited to get out there and play another game. It just happens to be us versus DeSmet this week. We also know that this is a regular season game. There's a chance we can meet again in the postseason. So it has a lot of emotions, has a lot of just excitement. Playing them on a Saturday. I don't think we've ever done that with them before, so that's different. But
yeah, noon on a Saturday.
Yeah, it's just, you know, why not make it one more little thing that has a little difference to it. But, you know, it's just, Chris, I think you've taken this game for granted as probably as a coach before, so it's just kind of like, wow, you take a step back and you realize that, man, this is great that these kids get an opportunity to play and represent their school and represent their families. And, you know, you kind of lost sight of everything for all the grind that you ever done. So this game is just going to be one of excitement for our guys to get out there and play against the best and see how we fall.
Coach, I think that's perfectly said. Here's to a great rest of the week as you prepare to take on DeSmet Saturday at DeSmet at noon. You can go to CBC's website. I'll be on the call of the game, obviously, because a lot of folks won't be able to get out there. But we can't wait to get some football going in St. Louis, CBC and DeSmet. Scott Pingle, the head coach of the CBC football program. Appreciate the time as always. We'll see you Saturday.
No problem, Chris. Have a great night.
All right, we head down the road now and head over to DeSmet, where the game will be held tomorrow, again, 12 o'clock. And you can stream the game at CBC's website. If you're not able to get out there, I will be on the call. Robert Steeples is the head coach at DeSmet and is the head coach of the defending Missouri 6A state champions. Coach, what's the week been like? Not only getting ready for the season debut, but getting the news that you guys will be able to do it at home.
We've been kind of day to day, you know, here the past few months. And, you know, it was 2 weeks ago, everything seemed final that we weren't going to play. And so, you know, we were kind of looking towards the spring and now getting the news that we would get to play. It's good to see how excited our guys are for that opportunity. But, you know, it's also very sobering to understand the amount of work that we got to put in regards to the grind that it takes to be successful at the game of football.
How have you balanced the past couple of months, Coach, with obviously the excitement last year of winning, and I'm sure the disappointment that we've all shared with, you know, basically life as we know it being completely changed, to then knowing that your guys need to stay ready, not just physically, but also mentally as they're dealing with, and we're all dealing with
what's
been a really, really tough time.
Yeah, I mean, we always preach to our guys, you know, one play at a time, you know, no matter how good or bad the previous play was, that has no bearing on how you approach the next play. And pretty much what happened is that one play at a time mentality transitioned to a real life situation and became a one day at a time type of mentality where, you know, no matter how cloudy, you know, or how much clarity you may lack in the future, that should have no bearing on how you approach the current day that's in front of you. And so, you know, being state champs was awesome, and it made us appreciate that a lot more. You know, maybe it was a good thing that we didn't get to have our victory parade because it got our guys focused on moving forward. But, you know, at the same time, it pretty much that one play at a time mentality transitioned to real life situations with one day at a time. And, you know, being in the middle of a pandemic offered a lot of opportunities, unfortunately, for, you know, people to need a little extra support. And it was very encouraging to see, you know, our football family step up and support people who were impacted by COVID. And so I think, you know, I don't want to say it generically, it just brought us closer together as a team. But I think really what it did was it put life into perspective and just the relationships that come from this game, football.
Yeah, and football is what you've done, Robert, your whole life. Have the last few months made you appreciate the game in a different way? I think all of us have realized that maybe there were parts of life that we took for granted a little bit.
You know, what it made me appreciate was the relationships the game allowed me to cultivate with my players. You find out that, you know, well, you don't find out, but you go a little deeper into seeing that you can have an impact on each other, whether you're on the field or not. But, you know, also as a competitor, you realize how much that game means to you. And, you know, so not having those day-to-day responsibilities that come with preparing for a game is somewhat unique. But, you know, it was awesome to be able to spend extra time with my family, you know, getting to be with my wife and my daughter a little more. But also, you know, seeing our young men be so adaptive and so resilient. And so they've been doing that their whole time here at the SMET. They've been extremely resilient. They faced adversity and weathered it. And so even though, you know, the uncertainty was definitely challenging on them, seeing them attack it, I think is an opportunity for them to realize they're capable even more than they realize.
You know, we heard people saying, like, I'm going to learn a new language during quarantine. I wouldn't be surprised if the women of the Steeples household could draw up some coverage schemes and maybe call out some coverages now after a couple of months with you in the house, man.
Yeah. You know, my wife, that's my best coordinator and the head coach of the house. So having her around, she's kind of my piece. So it definitely was a calming grace having her home with me. You know, and at the same time, she also understands that, you know, life is even better when football's back. So she's just as excited as I am.
So, Robert, final thing, and again, DeSmet hosts CBC tomorrow, Saturday at noon. If you're not able to get there because it will be such limited attendance, you can watch the game streaming. We'll put all the information up. Coach, just give us an idea of how you feel going into the game, what kind of a test you expect from, you know, your rivals in CBC, a team you guys know very, very well, and what you think the emotions will be like walking out onto that field.
Yeah, I mean, the awesome thing with a rivalry is no matter where you're at in your season, no matter, you know, where you're at in your life, when the rivalry happens, everything else outside of that seems to not matter, and everybody's just focused on bringing their best. And so I look at this game as an opportunity to just see, find out about our team. All right, we haven't stepped on the field against anybody other than ourselves, and so it's an excitement to see. I'm always excited to see those guys that, you know, we've been pouring into that maybe didn't have as large of a role last year that may step up. So it's exciting seeing that, but also just seeing how we respond to things as a team. I think with CBC, you got an explosive, you got a very explosive offense, one of the best in the state, and you got a physical defense. And so, you know, opening the season with them, we get to find out very early what our team is about. But also, you know, I understand early in the season, it's not going to be that pretty. You know, everything may not be as flawless as you hope, but I'm really just looking to see the character revealed of our team. And, you know, we're competitive, so we're going to go out there and do our best. And, you know, we'll take notes from this game, but I just want our guys to be present in the moment, you know, not so much emphasis on how this impacts us moving forward, but just, hey, let's just take this game for what it's worth. Cause at this point, you know, we're all aware that, you know, these things change day by day, but let's just thank God that we got this day to play football against a great rival opponent.
Yeah, I'm just excited to enjoy what will be a great game on a gorgeous afternoon. DeSmet hosting CBC at noon tomorrow. Coach, thanks so much. Have a great rest of your Friday. We'll see you tomorrow at the game.
I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
So again, that is tomorrow at noon. DeSmet hosting CBC, and I'm excited to be on the call. I'm excited to work with the Cadet Student Network over at CBC. They do an unbelievable job, CBC students, putting on live events, including, you know, not just sporting events, but theater, different ceremonies at the school. I've gotten to work with them a couple of times before. They're absolute pros. You can go to CBC's website, or you can go to YouTube, /CBCCSN, YouTube, CBCCSN, and we'll have the game broadcast for you tomorrow if you would like to watch DeSmet and CBC. We'll take a break, come back. Look at the weekend in the NFL. Ben Heisler of Sports Illustrated is going to join us. It's a Football Friday. Chris Raby on The Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Back in a moment. Ryan Kelly is the home loan expert online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Just 5 minutes. That's all it takes. A five-minute loan approval is waiting for you at thehomeloanexpert.com. Ryan and his incredible staff help people save money every day, money that maybe they didn't even know they could be saving. So what are you waiting for? It's so easy. Hop on over to thehomeloanexpert.com. Learn a little bit about what Ryan and his team do every day, what they can do for you, what they do for the St. Louis community, and they are expanding into communities all over the country. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. A big thanks to Ryan Kelly, the Home Loan Expert. Welcome back. Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Friday edition of the program. As we talk a little football, we move over to the NFL and welcome in Ben Heisler from Sports Illustrated. SI.com/gambling. SI.com/fantasy is where you can go to read Ben Heisler. Get ready for DFS. Get ready for your picks this weekend. Ben, along with myself, proud graduate of New Trier Township High School, north of Chicago, Illinois. And here we are now in the state of Missouri, hanging out, talking football on a gorgeous Friday, October afternoon. How are you, brother?
I've become that guy. Listen, you know, I moved to Kansas City. I was living on the Missouri side. I was cool. I was young. I was hip. I was living downtown. And then I met a lady. She lived in Overland Park on the Kansas side. And now I find myself moving further and further back in the suburbs. I've progressively just moved away from any sort of coolness that I once had before.
Listen, buddy, I hate to break this to you, but listening to you right now, the only people who would think that coolness or hipness is measured by a Missouri-Kansas state border, maybe a little suspicious. Maybe it's only people that move between the Missouri and Kansas state border, but I know that I'm always wrong. I always say the wrong thing. So we'll just say that you're somewhere in the vicinity of the Midwest, and then we won't make any Kansas Cityans angry. How about that?
No, in fairness to you, you know, I tell people where I live. I say, oh, I live in Kansas City.
People in Kansas City love talking about the border thing, though. Like, they love it.
Oh, they do. Well, they're nuts. I mean, that the reality of the situation is people here are genuinely nuts. But I would imagine there's a bit of a border element in St. Louis as well.
Yeah, but it isn't like the first
Missouri, Illinois side.
Yeah, like, but okay, here's what I feel like. In St. Louis, if you have like a lull in a conversation with someone, like the thing for people in St. Louis is to be like, oh, so like, where'd you go to high school? Like, that's the thing in St. Louis that people in St. Louis ask people from St. Louis. I just imagine like you, like, you know, sitting like at a bar or waiting to meet someone, and there's a guy next to you and he's like, so which side of the border are you on?
It happens. It happens because there's still that intensive Kansas-Missouri battle that still continues to exist to this day. And, you know, my wife is a diehard
Like, I don't think
Jay
anybody
Hawker,
else cares.
So they don't. They don't. And I mean, I certainly don't. Like, we're from the Chicago area. So people say, what side are you on? I say, oh, I live in Overland Park.
You're getting a little defensive, Heisler.
I mean, you know, maybe I might be a little defensive, but maybe it's just because I've been here long enough now that I feel like I have to take a side. But, you know, especially you ask any Tiger, mentioned that I'm in the Kansas area, and then all of a sudden that someone that maybe once wanted to have a conversation with me, now they don't seem particularly interested.
Okay, that's fair. Ben Heisler is our guest, talking daily fantasy, I promise. Ben, tell folks what you are doing with Sports Illustrated, and they can read you all over the place. They should follow you on Twitter. That's the best thing. Benny Heis, H-E-I-S. But SI.com/gambling, you guys have everything covered. I'm looking forward to talking all angles of football over the next few weeks and every single Friday here on the show. And, you know, it's not just picks anymore. It's not just traditional fantasy anymore. They are keeping you busy, and it seems like there are new games and new showdowns and new aspects of this created almost daily.
It's pretty remarkable, just the fact that you have everything. Like, we're partners with DraftKings Sportsbook, so we'll write a daily or a weekly article for each particular showdown matchup. So, you know, if you're paying attention to Bears and the Bucks from Thursday, that's up there on SI for the Sunday night game, the Monday night game as well. You have these individual slates, which before used to not be allowed, but as time has progressed, you've been able to focus on these singular matchups. And now, of course, with PAPSA being reversed and more states allowing the legalized sports betting, the sort of the intersection of fantasy and gambling has never been closer than it's been before. And there's different prop bets that you can make that sort of go hand in hand with each other. You have your traditional DFS plays at DraftKings and FanDuel and Yahoo and Fanball, and the list goes on and on and on. So we're trying to just soak up as much of that market as we can, Chris, because we know that there's a ton of interest in it, and we know that there's crossover, and that's why fantasy and gambling, yes, they're different things, but when you combine both together, you know, I don't make a DFS lineup without first looking at the different odds and trying to see where the totals have moved and whether or not there's injuries that are coming to play and vice versa. You know, if I'm looking to bet a game, I want to find out where a lot of the projections are lining up. So these worlds are intersecting in all sorts of unique and fun ways. And I think that's kind of what makes it really unique for us to sort of be working in that same area.
SI.com/fantasy, SI.com/gambling. That's where you can read Ben Heisler. So from a broad perspective, we're going to start to see bye weeks. And if we focus on just DFS big picture right now, we have a bit of a sample size through the first handful of weeks. We're going to see some bye weeks. Give folks an idea of what you're paying attention to and what Ben Heisler has learned and is trying to use to his advantage now as we get into the buys.
I think especially as you're heading into the buys, you're still trying to focus primarily on matchups, right? Like, you're not always going to have your top level plays always available. But what's nice about DFS is that you're not struggling to put your lineup together. You're not trying to reach into the waiver wire to try and figure out, okay, who can I stream for a week? When you're playing DFS, Chris, like, that's sort of your option and your mission every week is I'm looking at the best possible matchup this week at this time only. So, you know, in most weeks, I wouldn't be looking at Daniel Jones as a possible top tier play. But if you look at his price tag across the daily fantasy sites, he's $5,400 on DraftKings. You look at the matchup against the Dallas Cowboys secondary that maybe other than Atlanta and Seattle have just been completely decimated and just been crushed, especially over the last several weeks to start the season. You look at Daniel Jones and his ability to run and pair him up with somebody like Darius Slayton, who's been one of the better air yards receivers in the league, and think to yourself, okay, I have a value play. I have a good streaming option, and he allows me by playing him at a quarterback spot where I can save money to go ahead and spend whatever I need to go ahead and roster somebody like a Clyde Edwards-Helaire of Kansas City or an Ezekiel Elliott who comes in at $7,800 at DraftKings against the New York Giants. You're always looking for value. And so the bye weeks aside, it's just playing the matchups each and every week and trying to find where that advantage is going to come from and which plays correlate with each other.
Yeah, and I guess finally, Ben, you mentioned it earlier, but give us an idea of, from a gambling perspective, maybe a game where the line movement or the total has intrigued you, and you're going to keep an eye on that game because even if you haven't pinpointed exactly who you're going to use, you feel confident that it's going to be the type of game that will be beneficial if and maybe you're able to take advantage and stack some of the players.
Yeah, I'm looking at particularly some of the totals right now are flat out insane across the NFL. You have the Raiders and the Chiefs coming in at 55.5. The totals and overs, I think, are about 8 games over 500 over the first 4 weeks of the season. Scoring in the NFL is up by about 5.1 points per game. And I don't know whether it's just sort of an indication of the pandemic or whether refs have just been told to play a little bit more loose with some of these penalty calls. You're seeing totals that normally were considered to be, the high points of last season, 51, 52, 52 and a half. That almost feels like it's sort of, regular average cost at this point. Panthers and Falcons is a really intriguing game. The Atlanta Falcons are 0-4. Carolina is coming off a two-game winning streak. Falcons desperately need this game, and in fact, they've been on the sharp side the last couple weeks, just haven't been able to come through other than in that game against Dallas. The Eagles and the Steelers, I actually think, is a bit of a sneaky matchup considering how good Ben Roethlisberger has been at home over the course of his career. The Eagles are not great in the secondary right now. In fact, Juju Smith-Schuster, Ben Roethlisberger's number one wide receiver in the slot, has a terrific matchup against Nickell Robey-Coleman, according to Pro Football Focus, one of the better matchups of the week. So I think both of these teams can trade points, even though the total is coming in at only 44.5. So you're looking at a lot of these totals. You're looking to see where a lot of the movement is coming from. And I think there's a lot of really intriguing plays on the slate this week. But you know, Panthers and Falcons is going to be awfully popular. I think a sneaky play, like I mentioned, the Eagles and the Steelers this week. Giants and Cowboys are going to have a lot of action on both sides as well. And then even in that Sunday night game, Vikings and Seahawks, two vertical offenses with the total sitting now at 56.5. That's going to be on the showdown slate, or if you're looking to try and do a full Sunday lineup, Chris, you're going to get a lot of action to try and close it out in the hammer game at night.
SI.com/fantasy, SI.com/gambling, and give Ben a follow on Twitter at Benny Heiss. Follow along, and here's to another great week of football, man. Appreciate the time, and let's do it again soon. Appreciate you kind of giving us the primer as we dive into this every Friday.
I'm looking forward to this, Chris. Enjoy the new show and the new opportunity. I'm looking forward to being a listener as well as a guest. And yeah, looking forward to this, man.
Thank you, brother. We'll talk soon.
You got it.
That's Ben Heisler. And that's going to do it for us. I mentioned Ben Fredrickson, a great take on Mizzou. Go to scoopswithdannymack.com and check out the Ben Fred Friday. I pinch hit for Dan. And had a great chat with Ben. We talked Mizzou. We talked Cardinals. We talked a little high school football returning to St. Louis County. That's all on Ben Fred Friday at scoopswithdannymack.com. Big thanks to Ben. And Ben, thank you to Scott Pingle and Robert Steeples. Thanks to CBC and DeSmet. Looking forward to that game tomorrow. You can go to YouTube/CBCCSN at noon. I'll have the call of the CBC and DeSmet game tomorrow. We'll talk to you Monday. 1 week in the books, 4 episodes of the Chris Raby Show in the books. It's been a blast. Hope you've enjoyed the ride. Subscribe to the podcast, Scoops with Danny Mac, on iTunes, on Spotify, and follow along. We're just getting started. I'll talk to you Monday. Until then, this has been the Chris Raby Show on ScoopswithDannyMac.com. Be nice to each other, and as always, peace! Every song that I've ever heard.